morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be learning Koheles Perek Zion, the seventh chapter of Megillas Koheles. And this Perek is a large one. It is 29 psukim long. It is the largest of what we've come across up till now. And it really is replete with ideas. So it's impossible to do a full summary in just 10 minutes. But nonetheless, we'll just try to look at the main themes. We can roughly divide our Perek into two pieces. The first section being the first 12 psukim, and from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Chaf Tes being the second section. The general tone of the first section, the first 12 psukim, are sayings of wisdom. Toiv this, toiv that, good for a person this, not good for a person that. And comparisons of what's good as opposed to what's bad. The second section seems to deal more with theodicy, Hashem's plan in the world, why people suffer immeasurably. Let's take a look at it. We're going to take it in little steps. We're going to take this in bite-sized sections. So we're looking at the first major section. We'll look at it in bite sizes. The first four psukim are about death and mourning. We hear Koheles telling us that the day of death is better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a feast. It's better to have a little bit of anger than to have frivolousness. And that the day of Chachamim, the heart of the wise, are there in the mourning house, and the heart of those fools are in the house of the Simcha. So why is it? Let's just consider that just for 1 second before we move on to the next bite-sized piece. Is what's the advantage? Why is the base Avel? Why is the house of mourning so important? So Mitzvot David explains that the reason is very simple. Is because it's humbling. When you go to a funeral, when you go to something which is tragic, it wakes you up, it shakes you up, it makes you think a little bit about love and prioritization. You start realizing what's really important or not. That's the point. The Gemara in Ksubas actually says, very fascinating, is that when you go to a funeral, you realize that for a person to get a kavod achron, to get a last real honor, they need to earn it. They need to live a life worthy of those who left behind, wanting to honor them and speak about them and honor them in such a way, which means you need to start living up in order to be able to get to that funeral. As tongue-in-cheek, Yogi Berra used to say, always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours. That's the Gemara's Ksubas is saying, as we can learn from the Beis Avel. We'll move into the next bite-sized section, Pasul Psukim. Hey, to Zion, where it now talks about the anger of the sages. It says it's better to hear, Toiv lishmoya garas chacham me'ish shamea shir ksilim. Better to listen to the anger of those who are wise than the song of the fools. Why? Because the song of the fools is like the thorns that are underneath the pot. That is how it works. Why is this the metaphor? Why the voice of fools is like thorns on the pot? So the Talumas Chachma explains a very simple idea, is that whenever you burn thorns, when you put them in the fire, you'll notice they'll make a large crackling noise. And that's not as a function of their superiority, but rather their inferiority. Because they're not good fuel, they crackle. They make a lot of noise, but they don't do too much help when it comes to acting as a fuel. And therefore, the same thing. You have a lot of loud people in society. A lot of people got many Twitter followers. A lot of people have a lot to say. And it's just like thorns crackling under the fire. One little explosion and it's gone. No real fuel, no real content. Just a lot of empty followers. That's what is the message over here. What is this section generally about? So the pashtus of this micro section, Psukim Hei to Vizayim, is that we're listening to the idea that it's better to hear, to be rebuked by a wise person, than to hear the song and the entertainment of a fool. Now, this is important in today's society because the entertainment industry spends billions of dollars on listening to fools a lot of the time. And when a wise person does give any form of rebuke, they are automatically seen as oppressive and people become defensive and then they slander them. It's having been there and seen there and done that whenever any truth has to be pointed out in society. But there's another way of reading the section altogether. The Ta'alumas Chachma explains that perhaps the way to see this is that it's better to see the suffering of the tzaddikim. Garas Chacham does not mean to say the anger of the Chacham, but rather the anger directed at the Chacham, the justice. It's better to see the suffering of the righteous than to see the high and dry lifestyles of the foolish, because there's a lot to be learnt from the submission that is found in very, very special people, even when they suffer. Move on to the next section, the micro section, Psukim Ches to Tes. In this section, we talk about the end being more important than the beginning. Tov Achris Davar Merish Yisai. Better is the end than the beginning, and perhaps the reason for that is there's more surety. There's more of a guarantee by the time you reach the end. However, there's another way to read this, that rather than actually being an equation of saying that the end is better than the beginning, maybe there's another way of reading that, that is the end of something is good, may Rashi say, from its beginning. If you want something to work out, then start it right. You want to sail the boat in the right direction, make sure you point it exactly where you want to as you start out. Don't point in the opposite direction and say it's going to work out. That's how it works out. Tov achrish dover Rashi say, let's make sure our lives begin. We have set out on the right notes. Pasuk Yud stands alone. Al tomo masha haya Don't say, the good old days. Everything was better in those days. You're still here today. You're not asking this from wisdom. I just want to point out that in my own experience, I would say that the grass is always greener in the past. Which means that when I look back with the knowledge and experience that I have now to the decisions I would have made 20 years ago, I will always say, it was so good then, it was so brilliant. Yeah, without the experience that you had. And all the experience that you had would now lend you to make another decision at those forks in the road. But yes, the only reason you got to here was because of those decisions you made. So don't keep going back in the nostalgia, in the deluded nostalgia of thinking that you could be then with the now. That doesn't work. That's what the Chagas is saying. Our next micro section is the last of this general section of the Perek about the Tov, of all the things which are good. Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Tov HaChachma Nachala V'Yoseh L'Roya Hashem Esh. It's best to have Chachma with Nachala, with inheritance. What does that mean? It's good to have real estate. It's good to have assets. Is that what the rest of the Pesukim are telling us? No. So it could be, if you read Pasuk Yud Beis, that it is saying that it is good to be endowed. It does help you. It's much easier to publish books when you marry into money, or you find, you know, you find a gold mine and you win a lottery. It is much easier to produce material under such circumstances. But what the Talumos Chachma explains is that it's better. What does Nachla mean? It doesn't mean to say land. It means an inheritance, meaning a tradition. There are people who are wise, or we'll call them smart, but they kind of make up everything as they go along. It's all about theories as they go along. But they never had a tradition to get those theories or to test whether those theories stand the test of time. A person, the best type of wisdom is the wisdom that is accompanied with tradition, which we know where it's coming from, we know where it's going. That's what's being said over here. So this is a whole long section of Tov, Tov, Tov. What's good? What's better than? What's relatively better? And there's a lot of very, very fascinating ideas. Obviously, each pasuk is replete with so many ideas. This is a general overview. The second and last section of our perek is about theodicy from Pesukim Yud Gimel onwards. Let's look at a few micro sections in it, and then we'll conclude. Pesukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet talk about the idea of that there seems to be a balance. B'yom tova heyeh b'tov. You in a good day, enjoy it. B'yom ra'a rei gam ezeh l'umazeh aso alekim. Hashem made this. It made a parallel. Zeh l'umazeh. The famous statement comes from here in Qualis that there's a balance in nature. You can't find any questions on this. What does it mean? What does this all mean over here? How does balance work? So what Ray Rashi says is, look, there's good actions and there's bad actions. If you do lead a good life, you're going to get good things. If you lead a bad life, you're going to get bad things. There's consequences. That's the way Rashi understands it. Is you're in charge. You're driving. You have the steering wheel when it comes to life. We could dig a little bit deeper. The Torah Tamimah says is that every choice is a counterbalance. There's Gehinnom in the world, but there's Tshuva. There, whenever we make a choice, there's always something. When there's Nevuah, there's Avodah Zarah. When there are people who have the sufficient spiritual capacity to create spiritual entities like Golems, there are also the Shadim in the world as well. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this. Just a very, very famous idea of balance in the world at large. However, the Talmud Chachma takes it one step deeper. Very, very beautiful idea. And he says that bad in this world parallels good in the world to come and vice versa. Meaning, when you're looking around the world and you're saying, wait a second, why is this person getting such a rotten end of the stick? Well, the answer is because the rotten end of the stick in this world may be the good end of the stick in the other world. Understand that Zulu Ezelu Mazeh is not within this world, and that every action or every choice is counterbalanced, but rather that every action in this world parallels the opposite in the world to come. It's an Olam Hafuch Ra'isi. It's an opposite world. Don't think that the people who are up in this world are going to be up in that world. And don't think that the suffering in this world is going to be the suffering in the next world. It's exactly the opposite, in fact. Very, very powerful to remember that. He goes on in Psukim, Tezvav Tetechov, this next micro section, to talk about the wise man and the foolish man. And he says, interestingly enough, he seems to say, don't be too overbalanced. Don't be too wise, don't be too righteous. And he goes and says, don't be too evil, don't be a fool. So it sounds like he's going for balance. But I would say that perhaps we should become more wise. What's the problem with becoming more wise? So Rashi says, the Talmud Chacham explains in this particular case that it's what it's saying is don't be a tzaddik to Hashem too much. Don't go and say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was doing an accounting of the actions in the world and it seems to me that there's too much evil in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems to me that by my measuring stick, everything seems to be imploding. No. You don't outside alti tzaddik arbei. You know, don't be too wise. Don't be too smart on this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got it covered. And he goes on to say that therefore he says the Ke'ein tzaddik. There's no person who's too fully righteous. Rashi explains that therefore you need to, you need to do introspection. Don't think that you are the yardstick of justice in this world. And that's why he goes on to say in Chav Gimel to Chav Hei, our next micro section, that Shlomo HaMelech says, I've tried everything. I've experimented with all types of wisdom. And whether it comes from astrophysics, biology, chemistry, everything. And I understand that there's still things which are beyond the parameters of my logic and ability to understand it. So therefore, that's what part of what he's saying is that don't think you know everything. Don't think you can judge God by your logical imperative. There's much more. God is bigger than you. He is off the system. You're in the system. The grid can't understand what's off the grid. And in fact, the Gemara goes so far as to say, in the Gemara in Yomadav Yudal, it says that this is referring to Parah Adamah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah, in fact, and a number of mitzvahs which are chukim, which even the human logic is not able to fully understand. Finally, we close this parak with a very unusual section, Psukim Chavav to Chav Tes. These four Psukim are quite unusual. It talks about a relationship with a woman. That he talks about, I find the woman more bitter than death because she is a trap in her heart. What does that mean? What, is it not appreciated women? So the Torah says, no, it's talking about a person who's relating to a partner who's adulterous, a person who's not faithful, in this case, to her, to her husband, to her commitment. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chesamun Aleph tells us that, in fact, this needs to be paralleled with another pasuk. The other pasuk says, Motza isha motza tov. A person finds a woman, he finds goodness. So on the one hand, Motzani mar mi mavis isha, a woman or a partner is being described as bitter than death, more bitter than death. And another one is described as Motza isha motza tov. So which is it? So it seems to be that it depends on the tone that a person puts into the relationship in a relatively healthy relationship. It could go either way. It has the capacity of being the most difficult part of one's life or the most wonderful part of one's life. These two psukim create the nodes within the spectrum. And finally, the idea which is worthwhile noting is the Talmud Chochmah says this is not about a woman at all. This is about the soul's relationship to materialism, much like Eishes Chayel. The end of Mishlei is not referring, according to many Mepharshim, to a relationship of a husband to a wife or anything to do with that. It's relating of the body and the soul. And what's being described over here is, in this case, the Isha is the metaphor for materialism, and the soul in this case is the metaphor for the soul is the man in this case. And what's being described is that don't get too trapped in this worldly. Why is it that the woman is considered the materialism and the man is called more spiritual? It's not just necessarily because men are more spiritual than women necessarily. It relates to the general idea of Mashpia and Makabel, that the man is the rain, the woman is the earth. There's so many different fascinating Kabbalistic concepts over here. But what he's saying is that ultimately don't become too involved in this world. The soul should not become too entrenched because it will be eventually trapped. This is this perek, very, very much more to discuss, obviously, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.